If you would, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, and also turn to the book of Romans in chapter 5. Isaiah, chapter 30, and Romans, chapter 5. I kind of opened with what I did because tonight's message could be considered that of a general application, or it could be a specific application. But really, all I can tell you is, it's what the Lord has laid on my heart, and it's you tonight who has put you in my pathway. So at any rate, we're going to get into it. I believe that this is something for somebody, if not for everybody. But at any rate, we'll just let the Lord lead and direct. We'll start in Isaiah chapter 30, and if you would, let's please stand as we give reverence to the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 30, beginning with verse number 1. And the Bible says, woe. I want to just stop there just a moment. What God is saying is caution, warning. I want you to take heed. I want you to listen to what's going to be said. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. I want to preach on this thought derived from verse number 1, whereas it says that they may add sin to sin. The title of the message simply being adding sin to sin. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk tonight. And Lord, the words of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, comes to my mind and my heart. Whereas he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Father, would you just speak to us now through thy word. Touch our hearts, Lord. We are thy people. God, lead us and guide us in that which you would have. And we'll thank you, Lord, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Without a doubt, I believe that the most avoided or neglected subject matter preached from the pulpit and taught from any Sunday school podium is that in the modern day church, that of sin. I'll say it one more time. I believe, and it's the most least popular of any message that a preacher can preach in this day and time. But I believe if you'll look in the modern day church, in most instances, you're going to hear very little subject on that of sin. You may hear something about something of a murder. You may hear something of somebody stealing $1 million. But the everyday sins that you and I are guilty of committing, beloved, you're not going to hear a whole lot of preaching on such that subject. That's the reason I ask you, are you glad you came tonight before I started? We need to get into this, beloved, and we need to see what the Word of God says, that sin is a problem. And as ministers of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that we are called, we are commissioned, and we are compelled to preach the whole counsel of God. It tells us in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, and that without hesitancy or that without reserve, we are to preach the whole counsel. In my Bible, much, if not most, of the counsel of God that is contained in the Scriptures deals with the sin matter, amen. Coming or going, some way, it's going to touch on that of sin. But let's look and see what the Word of God will have for us here as we continue on. I want to say to you that sin is present in every mortal human being. And that being said, I'm talking about the saved as well as the unsaved. And beloved, it is not a matter if one sins, it's when one sins. I had a gentleman in the first church I pastored, he used to pray this prayer, Lord, if I sin, if I sin, if I sin. Beloved, again, it's not if you sin, it's when you sin. Beloved, all are still sinning and coming short of the glory of God. Can I stand here before you as a testimony tonight, whether you're willing to stand and make the same stand that I'm standing for? Hey, listen, beloved, I still sin day to day. I have to go to God day to day and seek forgiveness of my sins. But I want you to consider, as we look at this a little bit further, you've heard it said that there are sins of omission and also sins of commission. And as we look at that, it's just simply that of doing right or doing wrong. The sins of omission, beloved, may be those particular acts where you didn't do something that you should have done. And the Bible plainly says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But my friends, other than the sin of omission, you have the sin of commission. That's simply doing something that you knew you should not do. And beloved, we are all guilty of that because we're still in this old, corruptible, fleshly tabernacle that God has still within of us, and that surrounding the Spirit that exists inside of us. But that being said, I want to use the words of Isaiah the prophet there in chapter 1, where he says unto us, in that of deliverance of the message of God to the people, he says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." And that's what I want to do with you tonight, beloved, if you'll allow me just the time to preach out what God has for you. Can we just reason together, thus saith the Lord, as we look here in the Word of God. Turning over here to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, and we're going to see something here that's in the New Testament. We saw what it is, adding sin to sin in the Old Testament. Well, what about in the New Testament? Can I say to you, beloved, that the God of the Old Testament economy is still the God in the New Testament era? Amen. Nothing has changed in Malachi 3 and 6. He says that I am the Lord thy God, I change not. And then, beloved, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, beloved, we can see that there's nothing changed. God's position has not changed on sin. Beloved, sin is a reproach unto Him. Sin, my friends, is that of displeasing to Him. But looking here in verse number 19 of Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Now, those that are students of the Word, and surely any lay person here tonight would know the disobedience of that one man was that of Adam, the old Adamic sin that exists with us here today. But thank God there's something else that's said in that verse. It speaks of the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that many can be made righteous in that of which Christ has done in His atoning work. He says here in verse number 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense," what is the offense? That is the sin, beloved, "might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Then let's look in chapter 6, the first two verses in continuance. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" I want to just spend just a moment real quickly on the word disobedience we saw in 5 and 19. And then we're going to look back here in chapter 6 and verse 1, whereas it says in that of continuing in sin. First of all, beloved, that word disobedience. Can I say to you tonight, and I would challenge anybody here to look and try to make the point of argument in this matter. All manner of sin is a result of disobedience. It's disobeying the laws, the commandments, the statutes, the testimonies, the judgments, everything of God. Sin is a result of disobedience in every matter, in any case. Now, with that being established here in the Word of God, we see here, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That word continue, beloved, is simply what? To continue on, to increase thereof, to compound, to compile, and to build upon. Beloved, that's exactly what it's saying in the Old Testament. We're not to add sin to sin. And when you increase, when you continue in your sin, beloved, that's exactly what you're doing. It just builds and magnifies itself, and you're worse before the sin that you have committed that as what you have committed thereafter. Now, as we look at this, I believe as we had read back here in Isaiah chapter 30, and if you would, let's go ahead and we'll turn back there right now. But here, as we have read this and looked at this, can we commit both a sin of omission and a sin of commission in the very same act or event? Beloved, I believe the Word of God is teaching us here that we can simply do that. In other words, you can commit that act of a mission that will continue and bring you right on until the sin is commenced of that of doing the sin of commission. We're going to see that here in the Word of God. This, notice what we're looking at here as we expound the Scriptures just a little bit. Notice here in chapter 30. Now, this is the fourth woe that Isaiah is giving to this people. Now, let me just look at this here momentarily as we try to set up what we're trying to preach here tonight. Now, here with the Israelites, and we're speaking of the southern tribe, Judah, in this particular text. But as we look at this, the people of God, those, my friends, that were brought out under that of being God's own, that He has went with them and walked with them throughout their pilgrimage journey, these people, even though they sinned and sinned and sinned against God, listen, beloved, God was always merciful unto them. God would always come, my friends, and extend that mercy. And there, my friends, He would bring them back to themselves, even when they have sinned so greatly against Him. But as we see here, they have a tendency, and always had a tendency, to try to yoke up, to ally, and to confederacy themselves with that of the heathenistic people. Beloved, let me say this. God says in the New Testament to come ye out from among them and be a separate people. In the Old Testament, God was forbidding them to go unto the heathenistic people. Beloved, they were to come out from among them and be a separate people. We today, as the church, is to come out from among them and be a separate people. That's exactly what God is telling them not to do these things, and not to go unto these people to seek counsel and to get their advice. But they always had this tendency, as I said, to do this. Now, as we look at this just a little bit deeper, a little bit farther, at this time, they had heard, or they had reason to believe, that the Assyrians was coming down upon them. And that threat existed that they were going to come and overtake them. Now, what they're doing in this essence, out of fear and that of trying to have some form of reprisal against any attack that they would bring on them, they look over there and they see the mighty army of Egypt. They see their leadership over there, Pharaoh. And they see all of the armament that they have in order to go into battle. And they say, what we'll do is, we'll go right on down into Egypt. They got a mighty, powerful empire and an army right there. And we'll confederate with these people that they can come up on our side. And then we'll have the mightiest of the army between the two of us to go against the Assyrians if they come down on us. Now, that's all fine and good, but let me ask you this question. Why would you cozy up to a rattlesnake to keep from getting bit by a copperhead? Huh? Ultimately, my friends, what could have happened to you is simply this. Both of them's going to bite you. Both of them are venomous and poisonous, my friends. And there, you're going to end up succumbing unto the attack. Why would they do this? Now, I want you to notice. Let's look here just a minute. It says, woe to the rebellious children. That word rebellious is disobedience. What did I say about disobedience and sin? All sin is a result of disobedience. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says unto us, blessed, that is, happy, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. What is he saying? You don't want the counsel of the enemy. I think it's wise counsel. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, I think it's over there in chapter 24, I'm not sure, in verse number 6, it says, by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. Praise God, I'm going to tell you something. When we go into the warfare, when we go into the battle, we better have some wise counsel. And let me say this, all wisdom comes from God Almighty, beloved, as it comes on down to us. He says, they take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Beloved, I'm going to say this, turning from the Lord and turning to another is not wise counsel. And further, what the Word of God is saying here, it is sin. Can I stop and refresh that one more time? And then most of you could probably say, well, preacher, you done preached the message, now we can go home. No, I've got to get this out of my system, praise God. I got to let the Spirit move. I just don't want to give you a covering. I want to give you the Spirit of God and what thus saith the Lord. But as we look at this, my friends, and we see what's ongoing here, listen, he says that you're adding sin to sin. And that's exactly what they were doing because they were not responding and acting and following the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, I was talking to a brother back here just a while ago. In Romans chapter 8, that is one of the best text I know of, beloved, that gives us and defines unto us and gives us a strong discernment of what it is to walk in the flesh and to walk in the Spirit. Praise God, we need to read that, we need to read it again, and we need to read it all over again, what the Word of God is saying. But beloved, they can cover, but their covering, my friends, is only temporary. And that covering does not stretch to the boundaries that it needs to go in order to cover it. The only covering, the only protection, beloved, that we have is in the Spirit of God, amen. And Him alone. And why would they want to go back down to Egypt? Beloved, they came out of the Egyptian captivity time back. Why do they want to go back? Why do they want to yoke up? Why do they want to hook up with these same people? You know the old adage that says, do me once, shame on you. Do me twice, shame on me. Praise God, that's exactly what's getting ready to happen with these people, not knowing what lies before them. Adding sin to sin. Now, I want to give you a little bit of theology, typology. And I know that many of you who are students of the Word here tonight knows when we get into the types and antitypes and the doctrine of typologies and so on and so forth. Beloved, the problem that we've got here in all of this, there are three principles of evil. Now, I just want to ask you real quickly, and I don't want anybody to audibly respond or raise a hand or anything like this. How many of you think you know or do know what the three principles of evil are? The three principles of evil are. Anybody? I'm not going to call on you. If you think you know, just slip your hand up. We'll not hold it against you. It's very simple. And I believe the sooner that we can learn these things, the better off we're going to be, because we're going to have that safe hedge of God's counsel about and around us at all times to ward out the evils of this world. Now, what's that being said? These three principles of evil. Look here, beloved, what we're looking at. He says unto us in the Word of God, verse 2, that they walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. The three principles of evil right here before us. The flesh, the world, and the devil. Say, preacher, where do you get that? Well, first of all, here's what's going on, beloved. They're sitting up there, they're wringing their hands, and they're doing a little bit of woes too, Brother Steve. Woe! Are the Assyrians going to come down? They are a murderous, treacherous, ungodly people. And just think what's going to happen with us if they come down upon us and attack us and take us. What are we going to do in all of this? And here they start saying, well, I don't know. Maybe we ought to go over and befriend that particular nation. Or maybe we need to go over here and befriend this particular nation. Oh, look over there. Take a look down into Egypt. Look at the mightiness of that country. They got horses. They got chariots. They got horsemen. They got the armorers. They got everything to our disposal. There's where we need to go. So what do? They load their little titty bag up, and here they start trancing down into Egypt. They turn from God. That's the sin of omission. Y'all with me? Now, when they took that first step to go down into Egypt, that was that same sin continuing, but now it has become commission. You turn from God and His counsel and His leadership, and here you go another direction. You've got sin up to your eyeballs. You've added sin to sin. You getting the picture? Let's look here just a little bit further. So they see all of this down there. Here they start trudging down there in the flesh. And guess where they're going? Now remember, I said one of the principles of evil was flesh. They were walking in the might and the power of their own flesh. Now they're going down to Egypt. Egypt, in typology, is a type of the world. Then they're going to go set before the council of the king of Egypt, of that empire, whom is Pharaoh. Now what's left? Pharaoh is a type of the devil. So here, they have gone absent of God, turned to walk in the flesh, to go down to the devil to get counsel into the world. You tell me that's not the wrong path to take? If I stopped right here and I asked you, church, how many of us has taken off when we saw something we thought within ourselves was a little bit better or the route we needed to go, and we never bowed a knee to God to ask for His counsel, His direction, and His leadership? We just take off. How many's guilty? Well, we got a few saints in here that's never messed up. That's all right. I have. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of what I've done. But I'm not ashamed to admit it. And you know why? Because God has forgiven me. God has forgiven me. So here we can see it. In the flesh, the world, and Satan, all at their disposal. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. Where do you think the strength of Pharaoh lies? Beloved, he would have no strength except God allowed him to have it. Just like the powers of this earth today, beloved, none of these people could do anything without God allowing it. You see, God either sends it or God allows it. And nothing but nothing can occur without that of God having His hand on it one way or the other. He's a mighty God. Let's don't negate Him to that. There shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. His strength's going to fall, and in that failure, beloved, it's going to bring shame on you. And the trust in the shadow of Egypt for your confusion. Beloved, let me say this to you. If you ever went out at a particular time of the day and you saw a shadow cast on something and you can say, well, that is blocking it from the sunlight. There is a shadow there on that, so it's got a covering. Now I want you to pay attention. This ain't real hard. This ain't real difficult theology. If you go back 2 or 3 hours later, guess what's happened to that shadow? It's moved. And if you had laid something there, well, I remembered I laid that down over there where that shadow was, and I'll go back and get it. You're confused, aren't you? Huh? It shall add to their confusion, Brother Steve. So here they are in a predicament, in a situation, beloved, that needs that to be concerned with of ourselves. But then we don't want to stop there. Let's go over to chapter 31. And here, beloved, we just left the fourth woe. Now we're into the fifth woe. As we look here, and I'm trying to hasten. Y'all pray for me. I've got to get this preached out. God has had laid this on my heart for three. Hey, listen, I've tried to get away from this. I said, I'm going to go down and preach on this. I'm going to preach sin to these people, and they're not going to have anything. Hey, listen, my days are numbered. I'm gone. Look here in chapter 31. Woe! Caution, warning, to them that go down to Egypt for help. You see this all coming together. This is just tying up the loose end on the back. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay, and that word stay means depend. And depend or stay on horses and trust in chariots because there are many. And in horsemen because they are very strong. They got many and strong going for them. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Beloved, instead of looking down, they should have been looking up, praise God. When you start looking down and you see the pathways are behind, hey, listen, they're going to get long, they're going to get dark, they're going to get dreary. Praise God, as long as we're looking up and following Him and His counsel, praise God, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let's just go just a little bit further with this. They look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Who's the Holy One of Israel? Let's be specific. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Holy One of Israel. Now, I want to take you back to Exodus chapter 23. You can turn there if you like. I'm trying to get through. God, help me. But we need to go back here and we need to look at something here. And then I'll bring you back down and we'll bite through this thing and finish up. And I'll not ask you that question. I can assure you that. Here in Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, someone there say amen. All right, the Bible says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. You don't have to answer this. Who is this angel? Is yours capitalized in your Bible? Okay. Now I want you to notice what the Word of God is saying. He says, I'm going to send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Listen, beloved, those are the three V's that God has promised unto them. I want you to take a closer look in this. These same promises that was given to the Israelites here in Exodus chapter 23 is the same hope and the same promises as you and I, the children of God, have today. Now notice again, He says, He will go before thee. Do we not have one walking before us to keep thee in the way? Thank God we're staying in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, and to bring thee in the place which I have prepared. He has gone and prepared a place for the children of God. It says, beware of him. Why? Why would it say, beware of him? And obey his voice. Not disobey, but obey. Obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. Now who has the authority to pardon transgressions? You still with me? For my name is in him. Beloved, we're looking at the two personages of the Godhead. We're looking at God the Father, Jehovah God, and we're looking at the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, but if thou shalt indeed, what? obey His voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Now notice He says, and do all that I speak. There's one in the New Testament says, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak unto you. Jesus said, these are not my words, these are the ones who sent me to speak to you. Beloved, don't you see the relevancy here in the Word of God? We're looking at the Old Testament versus the New Testament. And He says, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Christ goes before us in all of our endeavors. This angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same one that was spoken of the Apostle Paul over in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. He speaks of that spiritual rock. That spiritual rock that the people drank of and they followed Him. Beloved, He has been a continuing power and force within the people of God throughout out of all this time. The wisest of all counsel is the Lord. Why people do we turn to another in times of trouble and difficulty? Isaiah 9 and 6 tells us that He is wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The second of the divine attributes as He has given unto Him is that of counselor. Why would we not go to the counselor, praise God? Amen. Verse 2, chapter 31, yet He, who is He, who are we speaking of? We're speaking of the Holy One of Israel now. Yet He also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back His words. In other words, God will bring judgment, God will bring wrath, and God will bring chastening unto His people. How many has ever got a whipping from the Lord? And I'm just old country bumpkin, I say whooping. How many has ever got a whooping from the Lord? Praise God, if it wasn't for my dirty shoes, I'd stand up on something and raise both hands. Sometimes I thought I was getting beat near enough to the end of my life. But praise God, I've learned a little bit on the way, and it'll be best for all of us to learn a little bit on the way. But notice, beloved, on what it says here. Against the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Each and every one, beloved, who is a participant in this thing is working that of iniquity. Not only are the people of God working iniquity, the Egyptians are working iniquity, everybody's working iniquity outside of the perimeters of God's counsel and wisdom and direction. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out His hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. Amen. You go on down to Egypt, God's not in it. Guess what's happened? They're going to fall, and you're going to fall with them. That's what God's saying. Why, beloved, would we turn away from God's counsel and turn to another? But yet we do. We so oftentimes do. And we pay the price, don't we? We definitively pay the price in many different ways in many different areas. I can simply say to you again, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's what God is saying unto them. Listen, as we look here back in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 7. And it declares unto us, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Did you catch that? Don't you jump up and take off down to Egypt. What you need to do is sit still until you hear from me. Don't you do it. Woe, don't you do it. You're not to place your trust or confidence in self, in man, or an empire, like what they did right here. You are simply to sit still. Psalms 46 and 10, I think it is, says, be still and know that I am God. Yeah. Isn't that what it says? And then, beloved, it even says back over here in Isaiah chapter 40. In chapter 40, we read these words, but they that wait upon the Lord, that is to wait and be still, be complacent, that not within your spirit, but that which is in the flesh. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You'll be able to go in the battle when I have set the enemy before you to conquer, because I go before you. Many times in the Word of God, the Bible says, it's not your battle, child of God. It's His battle. He will go before us. And we as good soldiers of Jesus Christ should follow Him. Don't lag behind. Don't get ahead. Stay right with Him, praise God, as He walks us through this pilgrimage journey that we're in. May God help us to do that. And then, as we look at this, I want to just kind of wind down and close on just one verse. And I'm going to touch just about everything of what we've preached on here tonight. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways, how many of our ways? All of our ways. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If that be the case, what's going on with these people? What's going on with us today, church? I believe somebody needs this evening. I'm not so sure that not all of us needs this. Well, Lord, this is just a simple little thing here. I don't need to bother You with this. Let me just go ahead and take care of it. And then it's not long. Lord, Lord, I've got a mess over here. It's got worse. You bet. You bet. Folks, this is not a situation that it's lunchtime and you're trying to make a decision. Wife asks you, honey, what would you like to have for lunch? Would you like to have a bologna sandwich or a cheese sandwich? Praise God, just tell her, honey, fix both of them. I'll eat both of them. That's a good decision. We're not talking about these things, but beloved, we are talking of that of our matters of life. And I'm not sitting here to say to you that anything's too big or anything's too small to God. What you need to be is sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit that God is using to communicate with you in these things. He's there. If you're saved, He's there. And the counsel of God is coming through the Holy Spirit, speaking to our hearts. God help us. God help us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now that word trust can be synonymous with three other words. Trust, faith, belief, and hope. They walk hand in hand. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in Egypt. Don't trust in your flesh. Don't trust Pharaoh. Don't trust anything that is of evil. You trust in me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now that word trust, as I've told you, is the same as that of faith. And the Bible, listen, this will get you. If you think you ain't been hung out to dry on this yet, you listen to this. The Bible says in Romans 14 and 23, that which is not of faith is what? Sin. You don't go to God and you turn to another. You have not placed your trust in Him. You have stepped outside of the safe hedge of God into the boundaries of beloved. You're setting yourself up for a fall. And you have sinned. Hey, we're still adding sin to sin, aren't we? It seems like the farther we walk, the farther we step, the deeper we get. I hate to use these terms, but I apply them to myself. Are we so dumb or spiritually ignorant that we can't see with our spiritual eyes that lies within our heart? God help us in these things. There's people in here that's got a medical situation. Maybe several medical situations. Brother Ralph had even asked prayer. Brother, we'll be praying for you. But there's a lot of you that's got medical situations. Before you take off tracing off to a doctor, you've picked up the phone and you just called some doctor out of the telephone book, and you go down to that doctor, and you don't know where you're going to get led in all of this. What is wrong? Hey, listen, beloved. What is wrong when you see that you have a situation, you have a problem, you've got a medical need, that you get down upon your knees and say, Lord, you know what's going on within this body. Lord, you know I need help. God, I know that you use the physicians, the doctors, Lord, to bat a bringing healing, because you are the great physician. You bring all healing to everyone. Lord, would you show me, guide me, and direct me to the source I need to go. Yep, we don't always do that, do we? I'm all by myself in a world of saints in here tonight. Same thing applies. Legal advice. Legal advice. If you're going for legal advice, you've got a problem anyhow. You don't want to get deeper in it, do you? Seek God's counsel before you get legal advice. Marital consultation. Seek God first. Vocational consultations on what to do about a job and where to go and all of this. Are you on your knees praying to God? What about educational systems? And some of our families in here tonight, you've got young children. Praise God. Hey, listen. Listen, I don't mean to be the grim reaper in all of this, but I would hate, and the wife and I was talking about, I would hate in this day and time to have to be bringing up children in this society. You better get with the Lord and stay with the Lord with every move you make with your child in our educational systems today. When they sit over there and they program them with something, you better be ready to start deprogramming them, praise God. So all of these situations are things that we need to go to God. Instead of letting our little fingers do the walking in the yellow pages, what we need to do is let our knees do some talking in the prayer closet of our home. Does that make sense? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge Him. The big things, the little things, the enemies, our friends, everything. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He's not going to tell you to go down to Egypt. He's not going to tell you to go befriend the Assyrians or the Babylonians. And that's something else about the people of God, just real quickly here. They had been in captivity in Egypt. And then, as a result of all of this, and their evil ways and evil doings and disobedience, and what is disobedience? Sin. Their disobedience is unto God. They ended up, ultimately,
Israel did, that of going into the Assyrian captivity under that of old King Sennacherib. And then, beloved, the other part went into that of the Babylonian captivity that was the southern kingdom. And then ultimately, there in Rome, in the New Testament, what happens? The Roman Empire comes and subjects them into basically captivity. And so many people today, our churches, the people of God, are in captivity. They're enslaved. God said, wait, be still. I'll be there. You don't have to do a whole lot of work and work things out for you. Believe me. The plan was made back in the eons of time already. Before you even got to it, God had already had it all worked out. I want to just close with these words. The conclusion of the matter is simply this. To turn from God and to turn to another is sin. That's adding sin to sin. Isaiah declares it. This preacher declares it. And Almighty God declares this very statement. Woe. Woe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this time and opportunity. Lord, it's a hard and difficult message when we preach on sin, but Lord, it's thy counsel. And we need wise counsel in these days, but Lord, we need preachers that'll stand in the pulpit and preach against sin. Lord, it's what we've looked at here tonight. It may not seem like much, but Lord, it can bring a lot of heartaches and heartbreaks. Lord, it can bring a lot of pain and suffering unto the people, Lord, if we just sin and continue to add to our sin. God, may we always seek thy face, not only in the good times, but in the bad times, all times, Lord, should we seek thee, first and foremost, not looking to another, but looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Father, I pray, God, that you'd search the hearts and try the reins of your people here tonight, Lord. There's many of them going through many different problems and difficulties, Lord, I know. And they very well may be medical situations, financial situations, legal, other types of consultation, Lord, that is needed. But it all begins with thee, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you just bear witness to the hearts of these people, Lord, that they would seek thee out first. God, I do pray it. Lord, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. But, Lord, I also want to thank you and praise you for keeping me, Lord. And as we had read in the Word of God tonight, that you go before and you keep, you'll also take us into that place that you've prepared. We call it heaven. Again, Lord, I love you. I thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.